They were frightened.
I want masks. What is this?
Listen, I'll grant you, Felger is crazy.
Here we go.
Man, I got to lay off the peyote.
It was horrendous.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bye! For all back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton, myself, Maz, Murray, Stu, and Lanny behind the glass, a fully loaded Felger and Maz program. And we obviously have a lot to get to. We'll just start. Maz, Murray, your opening thoughts on that loss last night.
Look, to me, obviously the thing was the defense. Philadelphia went in with a good game plan. They were going to attack the weak links in the Patriots' defense, regardless of who that was on the field. At least let's start there for now. And that they were able to identify guys pre-snap that they wanted to go after, whether it was Rowe or whether Butler had been on the field. Maybe it would have been him. But whatever it was, they said, we're going to go to the matchups that we think favor us. We're going to spread the ball around to whoever has the best matchup. And that's what they did over and over and over again. I mean, look, the Patriots racked up 613 yards, was it? 613 yards. You don't punt and you lose the game. I mean, where else do you look but the defense?
They exposed your defense.
Totally. I mean, to me, that's what you go to the defense first.
It took a while, it feels like. I mean, that's just the big picture takeaway. It has to be the personnel on defense. And we all saw it to begin the year, and we all saw it anytime you looked at the roster. But they get into the balance of the season, and they hide it, or they overcome it, or the opponents aren't good enough to take advantage, or whatever it is.
I think that's what it is. You faced a lot of bums.
I mean, maybe that's it, Murray. I mean, but whatever it is, you get to this point, and you say, yeah, they don't have the horses, but, you know, they're going to hold them under 30, you're going to score 30, and, you know, that's it. And you give up 41. You give up 41, Murray, and basically, they were all on the level, meaning no special teams, no defensive points.
Nothing fluky about it.
They got 3 points at the end of the game off Brady's strip sack. So those were their only points off turnovers. That was their only points off short fields. There were no special teams sort of, short fields. So that is 41 points on its merits. That is an ass-kicking of epic proportions.
Yeah, and now that the fog has lifted of spending 8 days in that frozen hellhole, a fitting end last night, too, I have to live with the fact, because now the anger really is saying, I was mostly numb last night, but now the anger is setting in that I have to live with the fact, as a Patriots fan, this team lost in the Super Bowl to Nick Foles and surfer Andy Reid, and rightfully so, because what a balls game plan, and going for it more than a few times on fourth down, because he looked at that defense and laughed. Doug Peterson. So good for them. And credit to the Eagles. There was nothing fluky about that. But my biggest takeaway is we now have our answer. Who's more important to the franchise? It's Tom Brady. I don't ever want to hear that it's Belichick ever again. Because Belichick, for whatever petty reasons, and good luck convincing me otherwise, it was petty that he sat Malcolm Butler, and I do believe he would have made a difference, or at least contributed to a stop at some point. So out of pettiness, Belichick sits Malcolm Butler, because without Tom Brady in that game, that's a 40-point loss. That's a 40-point loss. Call him the New England Bradys from now on until the day he retires, because it's him, not Belichick.
So you agree with Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston, who writes, you know it, I know it, the country knows it, and most importantly, the Patriots themselves know it, that keeping Malcolm Butler on the bench cost them Super Bowl 52. You agree with that?
So, I mean, you can never say that definitely, right? Like, but I know this. He's better than just about every guy on that defense that played in the secondary last night, with the possible exception of, McCourty and Gilmore. That's it.
McCourty sucked last night.
He wasn't good either. Yeah, they exploited him too in coverage. They did.
Curran writes, the fact that Butler didn't know he'd be out and Eric Rowe didn't know he'd be replacing him until shortly before kickoff suggests that something happened on Sunday or Saturday night. Whatever it was, it prompted Belichick to opt for sending the kind of message that jeopardized further cementing his legacy as the best coach of all time in any sports. He said it was unmistakable that Butler's teammates were at a loss and upset that Butler didn't play. Curran says that while there weren't any open lamentations about the coaching decision to sit Butler, it was easy to read the facial expressions and body language when the question was posed. Of course, it hurt the team. There's also some Instagram signs. So tell me.
So there was one open lamentation. And Murray, I don't have the actual Instagram post in front of me. But it was
just describe it.
Yeah, Brandon Browner put up on Instagram that you know, how do you get to the Super Bowl and not play your best defensive player over the last 3 years, this meaning Malcolm Butler?
Their former corner, right, who was
correct.
Here in 14.
Yep, Brandon Brown was here in 14 and obviously was half of the play that Butler made at the goal line because he's the one that jammed the receiver and allowed Butler to jump in there. So Browner made the comment on Butler's behalf, and what I found most interesting about that is, fine, Brandon Browner says that, big deal. Dante Hightower liked it. He liked it. Dante Hightower signed on it, put his name on it, endorsed it. And Dante Hightower is one of the leaders of that defense. I saw that and I went, whoa. Like, there's no way Bill's going to be happy about that. That Dante Hightower, one of the leaders of the defense, is sitting there the day after the Super Bowl questioning the head coach. That's not going to go over with BB.
It's the guy that puts this team in the best position to win. That's one of the things he's always lamenting. You know, I put the team in the best position to win. Did you last night by sitting this guy? What did he do? So unless he punched a woman or burned down an orphanage, I don't care if he was high, had missed a curfew. That's putting your team in the best position to win. When you look out there and you see Jordan Richards playing in key situation, Jordan Richards, Johnson Badamosi. Are you kidding me?
So to me, the worst part is that he played him. So
played him on special teams, right? One
snap.
He
was in uniform, taking up a roster spot, and he did play a special team snap. But if he violated a team rule, put him on 9, sit him out, send him home. I mean, if either he's in the game or he's not, and this is what's always bothered me about the Wes Welker thing all those years ago where he did something similar, where Wes Welker was benched in the first quarter on offense, but he was back there to fair catch some punts on special teams as punishment for the foot jokes. Well, is that a violation of team rules or not? Because if it is, then you take the uniform away and you send him home. But to first of all, not inform the guys. Eric Rose said he didn't find out until the national anthem.
Right.
To not inform the guys until then, and then stand the guy there on the sideline in full uniform, in full view of everyone, there's just some sort of vindictive quality to it,
no,
I feel.
No, absolutely. It feels like on some level there was a personal element to it.
And you know, I mean, the only thing I can think of, and I have no idea if this is related or not, but I do remember in 07, the Patriots were really put off internally by the way Asante Samuel carried himself for much of that year and even that week in Arizona. In fact, from what I hear, and it's, you know, the story's been told, but Asante Samuel during the team pitcher apparently was like chirping about getting paid, and Asante Samuel was saying things like, you know, everybody who's getting paid, line up over here for a pitcher. Everyone who's not, like, I mean, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. But Asante was chirping about his money and his contract the weekend of that Giants game. And then he goes out and, like the rest of the team, blows it at the end, doesn't corral that interception. And the Patriots, it's always been in the back of their head. They always like, you know, this guy was just worried about his money and he cost us the game. And I just say that as background. Did they get to another spot with Malcolm Butler and say, we're not going to let the guy play us like that again. You sit down. Hey, you want a nice little entree into free agency? Stand there.
So I wondered about that too.
For the whole world and the whole league to see that you've been benched for the Super Bowl, good luck in free agency.
Yep, we made you in the Super Bowl and we will destroy you in the Super Bowl.
It just has that appearance. You know, who the hell knows? But again, my point is, if he did something really egregious, well, great.
Cut him. You cut Tyquan Underwood before the Super Bowl, the last one against the Giants.
Send him home. I respect that. You have team rules. He violates team rules. Send him home. But you didn't. So what are you doing there? And I to me, it's all a fair second guess. There's a million things to get to with this game, folks, and we'll do it with you all day long. You can vent. You can do whatever you got to do. Jimmy Stewart, you can release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Load them up. We'll talk to you all day long and get through all the items. I think the Butler issue is obviously the lead story.
Felger and Maz.
Blood force drum!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
This is Felger and Nass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We put the players out there and the game plan out there that we thought would be the best tonight, like we always do.
We were just trying to run some packages that we had, for the game plan, and those guys that were out there were out there for all the situations that we needed them for. So however it kind of, you know, turned out that way, and with the game, the kind of the way it went and some of the situations that came up, that was really, you know, it's just kind of the way it went.
I mean, you got to ask coach. I mean, well, my feelings don't really matter. I'm ask to go out there and play the best football I can play, and that's all I can try to focus on.
I didn't really know till basically till kickoff.
I don't know. They gave up on me. Yeah. It is what it is. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good, or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
I feel that way. What happens now, Malcolm? Unrestricted free agent?
Aim is Cleo, so I can't tell the future.
God, that sucks. Yes. Such a good Patriot. I mean, like, that's right out of central casting of what they do around here. Undrafted guy, works his tail off, competes his butt off, emerges as the guy. That's a guy that should be a Patriot for life. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that should be a core guy for the balance of his career. And how it all, you know, comes to that is just, how does that happen? How does that happen? But a more immediate concern is Belichick's decision to sit him on the bench all game long. And the Patriots' defense in general being exposed last night by the Eagles in that stunning loss. Your reaction all day long to what happened last night. We'll start with Mike in Rhode Island. Go ahead. What do you got, Mike? Michael?
Yeah, this is Mike in Rhode Island.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm kind of in agreement with Murray about, Brady's team, and Brady's the one that is responsible for the success. I mean, how many times has Bill's personality gotten in the way where he's gotten rid of players that, you know, were important to the team, or, you know, he hasn't gotten along with this one or that one? I think that,
Let me just stop you there. Do you think Bill's personality, that this was a personality thing, and this was a, Belichick made it personal and it got in the way?
I would say when he says his personality, to me it's his, you know, the way he's wired, or his, you know, I guess the answer is yes. I think that Bill, on some level, and I don't know, you know, maybe it was personal thing with Butler, like you were saying, sticking it to him for the whole contract thing. Like, on some level, there was a vindictive nature to this.
Right, but, and what was is the fact that they dressed him. If he violated a team rule, if he, you know, whatever he did that, you know, necessitated action, I mean, that's fine. I respect that. It's, you know, you're a team of rules, and you've got to, you know, even in the biggest games, if you're not on board, you're not on board. So send him home.
Or, like Ivan said, send him out a quarter.
Keep him in the press box. If he violated a team rule, missed curfew, missed practice, whatever, then don't play him. Why do you have to stand him there on the bench? And why do you tell everybody that, you know, during the national anthem? Like, so that's...
Yeah, you got me. It felt vindictive. It felt vindictive. Given the history with the player, it felt like the response was strong. Again, like I even say, Mike, how many times do guys get disciplined we never know about, and they sit out a series, or they sit out a little bit of the game, and then they play later?
Right.
You could have done that very easily here.
So, but I'm not willing to go with Murray or anyone else and say, you know, this is Brady's team, it's all Brady and no Belichick. No. I actually still start with Belichick. But can you just say he had a bad night? The coaching staff had a bad night.
Boy, did they ever.
I am sorry. You had no answers on defense and on offense. First half, mostly, too cute.
Way too cute.
Too cute by half. And Bill's decision on Butler. So the coaches had a bad night. But I'm sorry. I do still start with Belichick. Hi, Chris. Chris in Worcester, go ahead.
Yeah. I called in last week. I got a beef with Murray. Can I speak with Murray for a quick second?
Yes, you can, Chris. Please go.
Thank you. I called him last week, and Murray said I was just angry for saying Belichick was overrated. How do I look today?
No, you look pretty good.
How do I look today?
You look pretty good.
I think, thank you. And he should be fired for that horrific move. Not getting a number one pick for Jimmy. So this is a second fireable offense. I'm out.
Okay, Chris. I thought you were going to say fired for the Butler
thing last
night.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
He shouldn't be fired for anything. The Garoppolo thing is bad.
It's starting to look worse because they have such holes on that defense.
The Garoppolo thing is atrocious, that he wouldn't pick up the phone and talk to other teams. I mean, that is...
It's one in a long list of terrible personnel decisions he's made this year.
If that were another coach, it would be a fireable offense. If that were just another 8-8, 9-7 coach, and I were the owner, I would fire that coach for not answering the phone from Cleveland and seeing what they would offer. Okay? But it's Belichick, the best coach of all time, so you just got to chalk it up. Last night was a bad night for the coaches. Let's not overreact, Murray. Bad night for the coaches.
How do you think they're feeling in Detroit right now about Matt Patricia? You think they all of a sudden you think they like that one?
I don't know.
I think it's. But to me, so what I said, and I don't think it's hyperbolic to say, in this last 18 years, who's more important to me? I look at last night. It's Brady. How many times? And even look at the other Super Bowls that they've lost, Mike. If he's the defensive mastermind, well, Brady brought them back. They had the lead. It's the defense that coughed it up. Where's your stop? Where's your answers? And I think you could have got a stop last night if you decided to put Malcolm Butler on the field. So if it comes out that it's weed or something, missed a curfew, you sit him because of that? He coached Lawrence Taylor! You could turn a blind eye for the biggest game of the year. So what, you're going to go on this power trip and sell out your team to satisfy your ego? Are you kidding me?
I do wonder about the whole thing. Like, the logic normally, let's say something bad happened. He hit a coach or something like that. Okay, let's say he went after a coach and hit him. In which case, Bill says, there's no way I can ever allow that on a team.
Send him home.
Right, exactly. But I'm saying the point being is you make the decision you make because going forward, you have to have some sort of standard. So I wonder, does that suggest Bill's definitely back? Because otherwise, play him, see you later, I'm out of here. What's the repercussion for Bill? There's no repercussion.
We'll get to the future of what's going on down there with players and coaches coming up. That'll be a big topic, I think, this offseason, and it really does start today. But back to the phones. We've got John and Quincy. Hi, John.
Guys, good evening. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, real quick. I call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't know. Maybe I'm out of line. But did Belichick do this? Did he sit Butler as this type of middle finger to Kraft for getting rid of Garoppolo and making him keep Brady?
I don't know how you could equate the two. I think he did it as a middle finger to Malcolm. I think he did it as a middle finger to Malcolm. And maybe Malcolm Butler deserved it. Maybe he did something so bad that you have to just keep your team rules. I get that. I don't get why then you put him in uniform and stand him out there on national TV with his Schmenzer in his hand all game and really put him out there.
So were there any other defensive backs that were inactive? I don't remember.
Look at this right here.
Branch Reedy.
Jones, the safety, who's a special teams guy, was inactive. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong... That's Eagle. It's not even a Patriot. Sorry. No, there were no other defensive backs that were inactive. Nope.
Okay.
So, maybe they just didn't have the numbers, I guess?
Well, so that's what I wonder about.
If you're not going to play the guy, then activate someone else. Activate Gillisley. Activate David Harris. Activate Hollister, the tight end. Britt, the receiver. Alan Brandt. You could have activated a bunch of guys. If he violated team rules and you have to abide by your rules, which I respect, then why is he even in uniform? Why are you telling these guys during the anthem? John and Rockland, go.
What's up, guys? What bothered me about last night, about what they were saying during the game and about Al Aguilar from the Eagles, and why didn't they put Gilmore on him from the time the game started? I think that would have helped out a hell of a lot because he's up the...
Let me tell you what happened. I think in the first half, they found Jeffrey. In the second half, they found Aguilar. And they put Gilmore on Jeffrey to start the second half. And then Peterson, a lot of credit there to Doug Peterson, said, okay, where's 25? Where's everybody else? And they didn't throw on Stephon Gilmore, and they threw on everybody else. And they did that from the first snap of the game.
I mean, it was smart. It was a good game plan. They identified the weakest coverage in the Patriots defense time and time again, and they exploited it. And but to me, I agree with the caller though. Gilmore should have been on Jeffrey from the start.
Should have been.
And you know what? If Aguilar beat you, fine. But Jeffrey is the best receiver on that team, and he torched him in the early part of the game.
Here's numbers from Jimmy Stewart. I don't know where he got him, but when Nick Foles targeted Aguilar and Jeffrey, and they were covered by Gilmore, Nick Foles was 0 for 4 with an interception. That was a Daron Harmon pick that, Gilmore had good coverage on Jeffrey down the field. So when they targeted Aguilar and Jeffrey, covered by Gilmore, they didn't complete a ball. When they targeted Aguilar and Jeffrey and someone else was covering them, anyone? 12 of 14, a .157 touchdown.
Right. 12 of 14. So again, this comes back to Butler. That means that it was Rowe, or it was Jordan Richards, or whoever else, or Chung, or McCourty, or whoever. And you're telling me that you missed your second-best cover guy last night. As disappointing a year as Butler had, he's still better than all those other bums.
John and Melrose, go ahead.
Yeah, so, listen, I'm pro Belichick. However, I think that, you know, I want to know what your thoughts are on as far as guys not wanting to come to New England because of Belichick's personality and his rules. I'll sit back and listen.
It's happened in rare cases where guys haven't wanted to come here, but on balance, I feel like 90% of the guys they target and pay, you know, it starts there. If you give a guy a competitive offer and he's going to get an opportunity, they come here. And I think more often than not, you get guys who ordinarily wouldn't come here. So for every guy that you lose who says, I just don't want to... Who was the player who said this year...
It was this guy with the Giants.
Oh, right.
It was the Giants.
Landon Collins.
Landon Collins didn't want Saban or... I can't remember because I've been in that system and I know what it is. And I, you know...
No, he didn't want Belichick.
Right, he didn't want Belichick. So like for every one of those, I think you get... two or three guys who were willing to take less and come here because it is Belichick. So I don't feel like that's a problem. I feel like Bill has some explaining to do some of the players in his locker room. I think when Dante Hightower comes back, and if Dante Hightower is, you know, endorsing the criticism of Belichick, I'm sure others feel the same way. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as say Bill's lost his locker room, but he's going to have to, you know, there's another thing that probably has to be explained and some trust one run back among some players. If he loses his locker room over that, that's pretty lame on the part of the players. I mean, give me a break. How much has the guy won? How good is the guy? So you know, he has a bad night or the staff has a bad night and you're going to, you know, tune out the coach? Please. If you're a player who tunes out Belichick, you're stupid.
See, but a lot of these guys I'm willing to bet believe that he's got it in for Butler and that he's had it in for Butler. And so the question is whether Belichick now can convince them otherwise, Mike. Like, I look at it and I say, look, Bill is... impeccable when it comes to his resume, ultimately, but every once in a while, his ego gets the better of him, and he just can't let it go on something, and it feels like on this one, again, I had the feeling last night watching it saying, 3 years ago, this game, that game made you, now it's going to break you. That's what it felt like to me. So watching him on the sideline, I thought, oh. Like, you really think you can win the Super Bowl? You're that arrogant about it? Like, I'm going to take up my second best cover guy? That's what it felt like.
And putting him in that special teams play just once, that's to prove, oh, no, he's not injured. He's fine. F you.
Well, they only punted once, so he was on that punt cover team. So I think that if Philly had punted more than once, he would have been on the field more than once. But it's the same principle. Did he violate a team rule or not? Because if he did, then send him home. Don't dress him.
And just quickly, because I asked you whether there were any other DBs that didn't dress that were inactive. Batamosi only played 11 snaps.
Yeah, they found him almost every time.
Right. Richards played 16 snaps. So the point being, they were never on the field anyway. You had extra DBs on the sideline.
All right, we continue with your reaction to the Patriots' stunning loss in Super Bowl 52 last night after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your work day with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
No lead is safe against Tom Brady. What's your message to your team at halftime?
We got 30 minutes of football. We got to refuel, we got to recharge, and we got to play for another 30 minutes. They're too good on that side of the field. And message is we got to play for another 30 minutes.
As he's walking off the field at halftime, and Tafoya asks him, and he says, "You know, we get another 30 minutes. They're too good on that side of the field." And what I think he wanted to say was that side of the ball. Their offense is too good. And he knew if he said that, it would be, what about their defense? So he caught himself and said the other side of the field as if to say the whole thing. And the bottom line to me is, he had no respect for the Patriots' defense last night. Doug Peterson, even with Nick Foles at quarterback, had no respect for the Patriots' defense. He looked at them and said, these guys aren't that good. And you know what? If they cover Jeffrey, I'll throw to Aguilar. They cover Aguilar, I'll throw to Ertz. They cover Ertz, I'll throw to Clement. How are they going to cover all these guys?
So he's right. And we're spending time, obviously, on the Butler decision because it's a big one. But your entire defense got tushed. Got absolutely emasculated last night. You got run on.
By LeGarrette Blount.
They got gashed in the run game.
You got run on. And it wasn't just gashed. You got gashed, and then there were times when they just ran over your ass. Just absolutely emasculated you. You couldn't stop them on the ground. You couldn't stop them on third down.
They couldn't stop them on fourth.
Everyone sucked. Their linebackers, Maz, another thing you absolutely nailed about this game. The Patriots linebackers were hot garbage.
They blow. They really do. They blow.
Devin McCourty. I'm sorry. Zach Ertz embarrassed Devin McCourty. Go back and watch the game-winning touchdown. See how Devin McCourty played that.
He got completely smoked on that play. And then he stumbled. But either way, the stumble didn't matter. He got beaten. He was beaten badly. And there were a couple of plays that they threw and beat McCourty on at the end of the game.
The third downs were just from the jump. And again, credit to Peterson. I didn't know he had it in him, but he did. You know, it just seems so elementary. Get a bunch of receivers on the field, find the third, fourth option for the Patriots, and throw on them. Like, why is that so hard?
It's not.
But Peterson was smart enough to do it. It just started first series, third and four. 17 yards to Jeffrey. Eric Rowan coverage. Third and 12. Foles, short middle to Smith, 15 yards. Eric Rhodes in coverage, and he threw behind him on that one. On and on and on. Second series, touchdown. Alshon Jeffries, 34 yards over Eric Rowe. Second quarter, third and 7. Short middle to Ertz, 19 yards. Richards in coverage. Richards.
Oh, and he got smoked on that play. That was that little wheel route that they ran out to the right sideline that they did three times in the game and hit them all.
So the next one they tried on, that was third and 3 at the end of the second quarter. 55 yards to Clement. That was past Patrick Chung, who got torched on that one.
So Chung made the tackle. Richards was in coverage. I went back and watched these plays. It was Richards.
So
again.
Richards had him in coverage on
yes,
the right?
Yes. Yeah, he blew right by Richards, and then Chung ended up making the tackle down the field. But it was Richards that got torched.
Huge play. Huge play. The Pats had just cut the lead. Okay? They had just cut the lead to 15-12 because the Pats turned the Eagles over. Look, that Harmon interception was huge. I'm just going backwards here just a little bit. The Eagles are up 15-6. And they have the ball on your side of the field on first down. Okay? They're up 9. It's the end of the second quarter. They're first down at your 43, and you get that interception. Huge play. Then you turn around and score. So now you have a ball game. And you get them to a 3rd and 3. You're about to get them off the field and maybe even take a lead at the half. 55 yards to Clement down the right sideline on that little wheel route. Let me give you another huge down, a third down play. Huge. Third quarter, you score on your opening drive. Boom. 22-19, three-point game, ball game. You immediately get the Eagles in a 3rd and 6.
I remember this play. Again, I went back and watched all the third downs today.
They throw short to Aguilar, and Batamosi has him 4 yards short of the stakes. 3-4 yards, clear. He spins out of the tackle, goes for 17 yards, and they're off to the races. They pick up a 3rd and 1 later in the series, and then the touchdown to Clement, which I think should have been reversed, and we'll get to that. That came on 3rd and 6 as well, where McCourty sucked up and didn't get back.
Right, and Marquise Flowers was originally in coverage, and Harmon, McCourty, they had three guys around the ball, and Foles dropped it in there, too. And by the way, the third one that you talked about was Rowe in coverage on Ertz, that little wheel on the sideline again. I mean, again, they hit that play. I don't know how many times they hit that in the game. And the Patriots, Foles just kept dropping it right in there, and the Patriots could not stop it.
On the game-winning drive, or the go-ahead drive, the Ertz touchdown drive, they convert 3rd and 6 to Ertz over the middle. They convert 4th and 1 to Ertz on a play in which McCourty got picked.
He did.
Could have been a penalty there, but they weren't calling any of that all night. So, but if you go back and watch, McCourty got picked really good coming over the middle. And then the touchdown was 3rd and 7, where McCourty absolutely got jocked. Absolutely got completely emasculated,
yeah,
on that play.
Ankle breaker, to say the least. And that, you know, the one you talked about over the middle, the 3rd and 6, Gilmore made the tackle, but I think they were in zone. So I want to ask Bedard this tomorrow. So it wasn't Gilmore playing straight up man.
Right, he just got the tackle.
He had his area, and he was on the guy, and he made the tackle, but they got it at the sticks. So you almost can't even blame Gilmore. He was covering that area.
Philly ran for 107 yards in the first half. On the ground, LeGarrette Blount, who looked pretty good, actually. He looked pretty good.
That was sickening.
They had 164 in the game and averaged 6.1 a carry.
You let that useless load, LeGarrette Blount, average 6.4 yards per carry. That's pathetic. Ajayi's a talented guy. Fine. Okay, get him in space. You know, LeGarrette Blount. 6.4 yards per carry for that useless load. Again, he tushed you on that touchdown drive. That was how does that taste?
They got trucked on that play. How long was the run? Like 21 yards?
I think it was like 36, I thought.
I mean, they got absolutely trucked on that play.
Blunt was 21. I'm sorry. He had a 36-yarder later.
Yeah, that was to the right side. Yeah, the 36-yarder was to the right side. This one to the left. They got absolutely freaking plowed that play.
That defense got exposed. They got exposed to begin the year. And even, like, I mean, I remember saying in training camp, this is the worst. This front seven looks horrible. Like, how are they going to? And then they get rolled in the first month of the season, and everyone's like, okay, you know, they have a bad defense. And then they figure it out, and we just forget about it. Or at least I did. You know who didn't? Maz. Maz nailed this game. Nailed the game. You said they're going to score a ton of points. You don't believe in this Patriots defense. Foles is more than good enough to beat you. You nailed the whole game, Maz. The whole game.
I'm not taking a victory lap.
Boston owes you an apology. Apologize, Boston! Boston owes Maz an apology.
I'm not taking a victory lap. I'm not going to do it. But what I will tell you is that I think people look past the talent on the Eagles on the offense. They got a lot of skilled guys that you got to cover, and the Patriots couldn't cover them.
And again, credit to Doug Peterson. That was my biggest question on the Eagles going into the game, and not that he was perfect. I have some second guesses for him, but I think he was 90%.
He wasn't scared.
90% dialed in. Definitely wasn't scared.
There were a couple things I didn't love, but he was aggressive pretty much the whole night.
I mean, I'll just give it to you. Basically, we just gave it to you. Every time they threw on Rowe or Richards or one of these guys, they completed it. Then he gets into the second half. He's a few third down situations. He starts throwing sideways into the backfield. Like, what are you doing? Every time you threw to Ertz or you targeted someone other than Gilmore, you completed 90% of those throws. So why are you doing the dipsy-doo sideways throw to the guy 8 yards deep in the backfield? Like, that's Andy Reid. I said, like, no, that was dumb. Going for two points in the first half.
Oh, I hated that. That one drove me crazy. Kick the extra point.
Okay, so Peterson wasn't perfect. His team wasn't perfect. His team had a turnover that cost him 7 points. So, but they were 90% there. Dialed in. Made the plays at the end. Played 60 minutes. Were the better team in the last 5 minutes on both sides of the ball than you. Which they absolutely had to be. He wasn't afraid of you. And got to give it up to him. Tip my cap.
No, he went after him. He did. They went after him. There's no two ways about it. They attacked, and the Patriots' defense wasn't nearly good enough.
And I'll tell you, again, that 41 points, that's on merit. There were no special teams points. There were no defensive points. They only got 3 points off of turnovers, 3 points off Brady's strip sack. That was only one short field. Otherwise, they drove it right down your Schmenzer all night long. We're discussing it in the long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
What's really interesting here, Malcolm Butler, hero 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, has not played a defensive snap tonight. The Patriots are telling us a coach's decision. Of course, it was easier to get information out of East Germany before the wall went down than to get injury information from New England. But Butler has not played a defensive snap yet. Eric Rowe has taken his spot. Here's a giant. It's wrapped up 1 yard behind the line of scrimmage. This was during America the Beautiful. Butler was very emotional on the sideline. You can't guess what this was about, but he's played on special teams tonight, but not on defense.
Well, it was a beautiful rendition, so you never know, right? But you have to think that maybe he was hurting a bit, and you just wonder when it was that he got the news, or maybe it was just a reaction to it, and maybe it wasn't any of the above.
Hey, guys. So it sounds like we all agree that the Butler benching was a punishment, despite Belichick's denial. And here's why I'm absolutely convinced of that. Let's go back to the Seattle Super Bowl. The cornerback, whose name I'm forgetting, is getting lit up. So what does Belichick do? He brings in Butler in the second half. Untested Butler. Butler becomes the hero of the game. Belichick is once again, you know, this ruthless genius. Fast forward to last night. Eric Rowe is getting lit up. What does he do? Leaves Rowe in the game. Leaves a tested, experienced Butler on the bench.
Let me stop you there, gentlemen.
Oh, he's 100% right.
Absolutely true. It was Kyle Arrington. They yanked him off the field because he sucked and he went with someone else. Absolutely. I thought of it myself this morning. It also crossed my mind. Absolutely right. No two ways about it. Instead, he played musical chairs with Batamosi, Rowe, Richards, you know, one borderline NFL player after the next, including a guy that he drafted in second round or whatever the hell it was. Maybe it was the third with Richards, who sucks. Like, you know, it was, again, musical chairs, everybody but Butler.
And if it turns out it's a violent act, you know, all right, I'll change my tune on this.
But I'm not. Send him home. The issue is that you had him in uniform standing on the bench. Why?
Right.
Why?
Yeah, and if you know he's not going to be back with the team, and it feels like that's the case, then cut him like you did Tyquan Underwood before the Super Bowl in 2011.
Cut him.
Do that.
He's gone anyway. He's a free agent. I mean, maybe you got to keep him to get the comp pick, whatever. Send him home.
But if this is about partying or weed, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me.
It is. It's lame if that's what it is. You want to just make it, send him for a couple of series, whatever, fine. You get your message across and put him in there.
Bruce in Connecticut, go.
Yeah, guys, hey, we're going to apologize from Connecticut, too, there, Maz. I don't think it was weed or anything like that. I heard that he missed a plane on the way out there. I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, they'd had no pressure on the defense. Peterson exploited that. He learned from the Falcons from last year and the Jaguars. You know, going forward on fourth and one and fourth and goal and succeeding. He stayed aggressive. But Murray's right. With the rest of the game remaining the same, Butler's presence would have altered at least two or three plays, and that might have been enough to change the game around.
Absolutely. That game came down to a couple plays.
Sure, one play would have made a difference.
Absolutely.
You talked about the third down where Bademosi missed the tackle, and who is it, Smith or whoever goes for 17 yards. You mean to tell me Malcolm Butler doesn't make that tackle? Like, come on. He's more experienced. He makes that tackle. I have to think
so. Or just
one
of them.
You get a stop with him in there.
Look at all the plays Rowe gave up. All the catches. Again, Foles was 12 of 14 for a 157 and a touchdown, throwing to Aguilar and Jeffrey on guys other than Gilmore. So instead of being 12 of 14, he's 10 of 14. You don't think that one play could make a difference in there?
Of course it could.
The tackle on Aguilar before the sticks, defending the ball in the end zone to Jeffrey in the first half. Million different plays. If he just makes one, maybe they're off the field and you have that one extra possession and that's it. That was the kind of game it was last
night. No question about it. Yeah, one play would have made a difference.
Did he miss a flight heading down? He was late. He didn't get down there till Tuesday or Wednesday. They said he was sick. So there's a whole thing with Butler, right? He obviously is taking on the team with the contract, and there's that whole backdrop, which is always the nuclear button with that team. So you can't discount that. And then he's late. They say it's the flu. Then he's there. Now he's in uniform, but he's on the bench. He's crying during the national anthem. Rowe isn't being told till he's in until just before the game. Like,
that's another, that one too. Telling Eric Rowe right before the game starts, hey, you're starting. Is that also putting your team in the position to win? Just from a mental standpoint, because considering the game Rowe had, I have to think that was, really? Me? I mean, he sucked. That's not what he should be doing. He's not a starting cornerback.
The mechanics I hate. If he violated a team rule that was so egregious that you have to stick to your guns, then don't dress him.
I think Bill's got to let his ego get in the way. I mean, to me, it's, I don't want to generalize it too much, but to me, that's what it is. His ego got in the way.
Rafi in Vermont, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys, I think I know exactly what happened. I am Haitian, I can see things. Butler got into an argument with Bill, and he knows he's leaving, so he just tell him to F off. And Bill got pissed off, and he's dealing with the situation. Butler went to talk to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady FaceTimed the owner. And the owner came and talked to Bill, and Bill just been out of shape.
Okay, well, maybe that'll all come out in the wash, Rafi. All I know is, by doing it the way Bill did it, he put Butler out there for the world to see. He put him out there on the stage, if you will. And as I said off the top, it had a vindictive quality to it.
Sure, it damages him now going in a free agency.
Sean in New Hampshire. Hi, Sean.
Hey, great show, guys. So I'm hearing that he missed the flight out there and showed up intoxicated and a couple of things. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Let's say it's true, Sean.
What's that?
Let's say it's true. Should they have done what they did last night?
Maybe a quarter. It's definitely a harsh.
Look, if he misses a team flight and shows up intoxicated, I don't want that guy on my team. Go home. Fine. Like that, I respect that. I get you're sticking to your guns. We have a team rule. You violated it. Doesn't matter how big the game is or how big the player is. You're out. Patriot way, I'm in. But you dressed him and put him on the bench and told him during the national anthem.
Because he wanted to humiliate him. He wanted to humiliate him. And honestly, I'm not even good with the send him home part. Like, I think that would have been too strong. Because now you're penalizing the other 52 guys who are playing that day. They all put in the same effort during the year. You still get a chance to win it. And Mike, you can't discount the idea that it was his last game with the organization. Bill could have looked at it and said, I'm putting up with this because you're gone anyway. I'm done with you when this is over. So we're going to win the game. I'm doing it for the other 52 guys. I'm benching your ass for a half or a quarter or whatever. I'm going to bench your ass, but then you're going to play, and then I'm going to be rid of you forever.
Felger and Mazz. Felger and Mazz.